This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Parsha Shemos. We're now moving on to the second Sefer in Torah. And Parsha Shemos moves the journey forward where we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shibud in Mitzrayim. And I'd like to share with you four ideas on this week's Parsha. Four, I think, magnificent ideas. The first idea, when we talk about the Shibud, the Torah describes it as avodas porech, which we always translate as crushing labor, to break and to crush and to destroy. What exactly is avodas porech that the parsha talks about? The Haggadah we refer to via Vidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'forech, based on a pasuk in this week's parsha. What exactly is avodas porech? For those listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the handout. Let me give you a moshel to explain exactly what avodas porech is. Imagine the following scenario. Before COVID, before Corona, my wife and I would entertain and have lots of people for Shabbos meals. And we were on one time the JLE hospitality list. And we would get calls, could we look after this person for a Shabbos, for a meal, or whatever it may be. So this didn't happen, but it could easily happen. Imagine an hour before Shabbos, we get a call. Could we have a couple of young men? They've just landed on the footsteps of the JLE here in Golders Green. They're totally secular, young university students. They're looking for a place for Shabbos. Fine. So they rock up 10 minutes before Shabbos. There isn't much time to do anything. We quickly take their bags in, give them a quick cup of coffee, a piece of cake, and off they come to shul with me. We come home after shul Friday night, have a lovely meal, meaningful conversation, divrei Torah, delicious food. And before we know it, it's very, very late at night. We realize we haven't made up their beds yet. So I say to these two young men, I said, guys, can you give me a hand making the beds? Sure, no problem. We go down to the basement. We schlep the folding beds up to the ground floor, to the first floor, and then to the guest room in the loft. We come down again for the mattresses, for the sheets, the pillows, etc. After 15 minutes, we've made the beds. We've been up and down the stairs, we're all schwitzing, exhausted. And I wish them good night, good Shabbos. As I leave the room, one of the young men, fine young men, totally secular, he puts his hand over to the light switch and is about to switch on the light. So I say, no, no, you mustn't do that, Shabbos. He said, why not? I said, it's a melacha, it's prohibited labor, you can't do that on Shabbos. So the guy looks at me, incredulous, and he says, really? He says, we've just schlepped a bed, meant two beds, up several flights of stairs, up and down, mattresses, pillows, sheets. That's okay, but going like that to the light switch is not. How would you answer that young man? He's asking a good question. So I think I would, in that situation, say, listen, go to sleep, we'll talk about it in the morning. But let's say he's a person who wants an answer and you haven't got time to think too much about it. I'll tell you what I would say. Come downstairs with him, make another coffee, and you'd sit with him and I would explain the following. The Torah uses two terms to describe work. One is melacha and one is avoda. What is the difference between the two? Avoda is meaningless, menial work. Avodas Porech is the epitome of that. What happened in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim gave Klal Yisrael work that was totally unnecessary, totally meaningless, and it was just there to destroy the spirit. They made Klal Yisrael build storehouses on quicksand. It was futile. Medrash says that they would give the men women's jobs, and the women, they would give the men's jobs. What's the idea behind that? The idea is to destroy, to break the people, to give them something which is anti their ability, against their nature, against their grain. Melacha, on the other hand, is constructive, creative, noble, fulfilling work. Where do we come across melacha? With the Mishkan. The Mishkan is actually a microcosm of the whole universe. It's the ultimate in the creative work. That's where we learn out all of Hilchos Shabbos from. The 39 melachas of Shabbos are really learned from the Mishkan because they're the ultimate, they represent productive, creative, constructive work. And that's, therefore, you've got two poles. You've got melacha, which is the most productive work on the one hand, and you've got avoda on the other end, and avoda is parech at the real extreme, the antithesis of melacha. Now, with that in mind, we can now understand a tesis. Unbelievable. A tesis in Pesachim, daf kuf yud zayin on the base. If you take a look at the box, in the third box on the page, tesis there says in Pesachim an amazing thing. Where do we know the 39 melachas from? The Gemara in Shabbos gives various makaris for it. One of them is Eile Hadvarim, that Dvarim is 2, Hadvarim is 3, Eile is Gematria 36, that's 39 in total, whatever it may be, 39 melachas. But says the Tosfos in Pesachim, unbelievable. The Shamati Meharam, Sheyesh B'Medrash, the Fisha B'Mitzrayim, Ovdu Bohem Yisrael B'Farech. They made Klal Yisrael work with crushing labor. Parech in Atbash is very significant. What is Atbash? There is a gematria system. The normal gematria system is, let's say, take the word Av. Av, Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, the gematria of Av is 3. In Atbash, it's exactly the opposite. Aleph is not 1, but Tof is 400. It's the gematria of the last letter of the alphabet. Beis trades off with Shin, and therefore Beis is not 2, but 300. Therefore, in the Atbash gematria system, Av is actually 700. What's the Atbash? What does it mean? It means the opposite, the antithesis. If you want to see what the opposite of a word is, take a look at the Atbash gematria. The word Porech, if you want to know what Avodas Porech is, the opposite of crushing, menial, futile labor is melacha. Porech in Atbash is Vov Gimel Lamed. The word Porech, pei, trades off with the Vov and gives you 6. Resh trades off with Gimel, gives you 3. And Chof trades off with Lamed, gives you 30. The gematria in Atbash of Porech is 39, i.e. the 39 melachas. So you see the antithesis of Avodas Porech is 39 melachas. Unbelievable. That's what Tosfos tells us in Pesachim. And that's why perhaps when the Torah says in the first Aseres Hadibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mebeis avodim, why are we referring back to Yetzias Mitzrayim? Maybe the answer is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by giving us the Torah, is telling us, I took you out of a base avodim, of a place of futile, meaningless work, and I'm giving you the Torah, I'm giving you meaning, I'm giving you purpose in life. I'm giving you melacha. So there you have, that's what you would tell this young man, that there is a difference between melacha and avodas parach. Yes, schlepping a bed up and down the stairs is allowed because it's not creative work. It's not a melacha, it's not constructive work. And Masha'en came, creating one of the 39 melachas, Boine, Mave, whatever it may be, turning on a light, that is considered one of the melachas. Okay, so therefore we have, I think, a fascinating insight into the Shibbut. Let's press on. The Perek Beis in Shemois, we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, who will not leave the scene until the end of Torah in Parshas Vezos HaBracha. He appears, of course, in every Parsha, apart from Parshas Tzatzaveh. But he's going to be accompanying us every Shabbos all the way till then, till Simchas Torah. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Shmoy Space, Vayhi bayomim hohem, vayigdal Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu grows up, vayetze el ochiv, vayabresiv loisam, he goes out to the fields and he sees the birds and the persecution of Klal Yisrael, vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'ochiv, famously he sees the mitzri hit the ivri. Vayifen koi v'choi vayar ki enish, he looks this way and that way, he sees there's no one around, and he kills the Mitzri. I once heard an amazing pshat from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, the father of Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein was a legendary Rav, as I'm sure many people know, here in the UK, in London, the Rav in Finchley and Kinloss. And he gave famous shiurim every Monday night in Ne Yisrael. I was in yeshiva at the time, but at one time I was back and I managed to go to it. Maybe people listening went much more often than I did, but I've listened to many of his tapes. And he once said, when he spoke on this week's parasha, he mentioned the Vod, and this is a man who gave shiurim. This is 25, 30 years ago, hundreds of people, and he gave shiurim for many years. And he said about this Vod, if I'm not mistaken, he said it's the most, he says it's the best idea he's heard from anyone, anywhere, which is quite an important introduction to a Dvar Torah by Rabbi Bernstein. Listen to what he says. I think he quoted an Alter Jäger, an old German Jew who once told him this idea. We know there is something called Pardus. Pardus means that the Torah can be interpreted on many levels, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soit. You can read this Pasuk very differently. But to understand how to read the Pasuk, he said the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think about it, lived a very strange existence. On one hand, he was born Jewish to the Gedolim. He was the son of Amram and Yocheved. Amram was the god of Hadar. Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. He was a grandson of Levi, a great-grandson of Yaakov Avinu. So he came from the best stock. And yet, his formative years where he grew up was in the palace of Paro. So he had this strange conflict. Who was he? Was he Ivri? Was he Mitzri? He had this dual identity. And that's no way to live. A person has got to decide who he is. And that dichotomy, that tension was so distressing that he couldn't live with it. Now let's read the Pasuk again. Vayihi bayomim ha'ayim, and it was in those days. Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe was growing up. He was suffering from this inability to know exactly who he was. He lived in the palace, but yet he was the son of Amram and Yocheved. Vayetze el ochi vayar b'sivloisom, vayar ish mitzri maka ish ivri. And he saw an ish mitzri hitting an ish ivri. That is not referring to anybody other than himself. He saw an ish mitzri, the mitzri within him, clashing and hitting with the ish ivri. He was constantly had this inattention, this turmoil. Who am I? Vayar ki ein ish, vayifen koi v'choi. He looks this way to the mitzri side of him. He looks that way to the ivri side of him. Vayar ki ein ish. You can't live like that. A human being can't live like that. He decided there's only one way. He's got to decide which way forward to go. Vayach es ha-mitzri, vayit menehu b'chol. And he smote the mitzri side of him, vayit menehu b'chol. He discarded it, buried it, and he became Moshe Rabbeinu. A remarkable insight into this pasuk, a different way of looking at it. Okay, let's turn to paragraph 3. The pasuk continues after he killed the mitzri. The next day, the pasuk says, vayetze bayom hasheni. On the next day, he went out. There were two Jewish people who were fighting, and one said to the other, Moshe Rabbeinu said to one of them, "Lama saker echa? Why are you hitting your friend?" Next pasuk, and we know Rashi tells us these two people were Dosan Aviram. So Dosan was about to land a punch on Aviram. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Why are you hitting your friend?" Vayomer and Dosan Aviram, they turned around to Moshe. He said to Moshe, "Mi somcha leish sar v'shofet aleinu? Who appointed you as a judge over us? Halargenya to'ome kasher haragta es ha-mitzri? Are you going to kill me like you killed this mitzri?" Vayira Moshe was very worried, etc., etc. I once heard a great question from Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis. He came to school one time. And he's Parsha Shmos, and he said the following question, fabulous question. The Pasuk before had said, before Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, it says, Vayifen koi v'choi vayar ki einish. He looked around, there was no one around. The next day he went out, Dosan Aviram are fighting, and he tries to break up the fight, and he's told, "Are you going to kill us like you killed this Mitzri?" How did they know about it? The two Pesukim earlier, it says, Vayifen koi v'choi. Moshe Rabbeinu looked, there was no one around. He was clear. How did they know about it? How did Dosan Aviram know about it? So Rabbi Mervis said a beautiful pshat. He said, when it says, Vayifen koi v'choi vayar ki einish, it doesn't mean that there was no one around. There was plenty of people around. But vayar ki einish, what type of ish? He's referring to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Beis, in Mishnah Hay, in a place where there's no men, stand up and be a man. If no one is standing up and is taking action against this injustice, then stand up and be that man. Do something about it. That's what it means. And therefore, now you can read the Pasuk. There were loads of people around. But he saw, there's no one standing up. to fight this injustice. As the Mishnah Perek Yovah says, Ishtad Lios Ish. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, I'm going to be the one to stand up. That's a beautiful interpretation to the Pasuk. Alternatively, I think you can answer the question differently. And that is by looking at Rashi. Rashi tells us that who was this man that the Mitzri was persecuting and Moshe Rabbeinu had to kill the Mitzri? Who was he? So the Rashi tells us it was the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri. If you take a look at the bottom box on the first page, Bailish of Shlomis Bas Divri Hoya. The Mitzri had picked on the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri. For Nosen Bo'ena, what's the background? That he took a liking to her. Well, Belaila, this Mitzri, he went to the home of Shlomis Bas Divri and her husband. He pulled out the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri from the house. The Hu Chazor and the Mitzri went back into the house. The Nichnas Labayis Uboal Ishtoi, and he assaulted. He lived with the wife of Shlomis Bas Divri. Kusvur Shobayla, she wasn't aware. She thought it was her husband. The Chazor Ha'ish Labayisim, when the husband then went back into the house after the Mitzri had left, the Hirgish Badova, he realized what had taken place. And when the Mitzri realized that the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri was aware of what he had done to his wife, he hit him and persecuted him throughout the day. And therefore, when the Mitzri was picking on this Ivri, it was the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri, and Moshe Rabbeinu came along and killed the Mitzri, then clearly the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri knew about it, and he went and told others, and that's how the word got out, and Dosan Vaviram knew about it. So two answers, but it's a very insightful question of Rabbi Mervis, and his answer is a very beautiful answer. Let's press on. If we can turn to the second sheet, the second side. This is a fabulous idea that I came across.
Rabbi Golka?
Yes.
Surely the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri should have been appreciative, not told on Moshe.
No, it wasn't him. He. The word got out because of him, and then Dosan and Aviram, they got to hear about it, and that's how they knew about it.
But was it her husband that spread the story? Who else could have spread it?
It was the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri who may have spread the story, who may have told
them. Yeah, but he should have been grateful.
Yes, he was indeed very grateful, but the word got out. The question was, how did Dosan and Aviram know about it? That's not
right.
That's the question. Yeah?
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure. Let's press on. So the following idea I saw in the writings, the Shlo has a Siddur, a Pirush on the Siddur, and he quotes the Marshal in reference to something in this week's Parsha, which I think is just fabulous. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Perek Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu runs away after this incident, and he goes to Midian, he gets married, and he becomes a shepherd and looks after the flock of Yisrael. And he's out in the midbar. And he comes to Har Chorev, to where Matur is going to be. And the angel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu from within the fire. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the snare, the burning bush. And although there's a fire, it's not being consumed. He's looking at it, it's not being consumed. Now, amazingly, by the way, in Yiddish, you know, the word for a grandchild is an einikel. Where does that come from? It's not a Yiddish word. So some people say it comes from this pasuk. The hasne enenu ukol. It means hasne enenu ukol means that the snare is not being consumed. It's not being destroyed. And that's what grandchildren are, because they're the continuity, they're the next generation. And therefore it comes from this word, in Inukal. Anyway, let's carry on. By Yome Moshe, Eres Hamare Hagod Hazem, Madua Lo Yiva Hasneh. Why is it that the snare is not being consumed? Vayar Hashem Kisar Lirois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe Rabbeinu stopped and took a look. Vayikra Elav Elokim Etoich Hasneh, Vayome Moshe Vayome Hineini, Vayome, and he said to Moshe, Al Tikrav Haloim, Shal na'alecho me'al ragef. Take your shoes off from your feet. She would place the ground upon which you are standing is holy. Fine, well-known incident in this week's parasha. The question is, what is the significance of removing shoes? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu that you're now on a holy ground, this is a holy place, take off your shoes? And it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu. You see that there are other instances where we have to take off our shoes. For example, in Perek Hay of Yeshua, Yeshua is also told to take off his shoes. By Yom Esar Tzva Hashem al Yeshua, Shal Na'alecho Me'al Raglecho, Ki Hamok Mashat Oimed Olav Kodeshu. Same again. We know furthermore, the Gemara in Bracha says in Daf Nun Dalad, Lo Yikones Laharabayis, the Maklov Minoloi. You're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the whole of Har HaBayis, with your shoes on. You've got to take your shoes off before you go to Har HaBayis. So what is the significance of removing shoes? Question number one. Question number two. Every morning when we say brachas, we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Melech HaOlam, She'osa Li Kol Tzarki. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you fulfill all my needs. She'osa Li Kol Tzarki. Says the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Amud Beis, this refers to shoes. The fact that we have shoes to wear, that's Kol Tzarki. Thank you, Hashem, for fulfilling all my needs. What exactly is shoes? Why are they all my needs? Why are they Kol Tzarki? The Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Chav Tes Omed Aleph, La'olam Yimkar Adam Kairos Beisai, a person should better sell the very beams of his house, the Yikach Min Alayim Neraglov, so he can buy shoes. Well, what is so special about shoes? So the Shla quotes the Marshal and gives a fascinating insight into shoes, into this whole story. We know there are four levels of creation. There is Domein, that is the mineral world, the inanimate objects. There is Someach, which is the vegetable world. There is Chai, the animal kingdom. And Adam, and then there is human being. There are four realms, four levels of creation. And each one is meant to dominate the one below it. So Adam is at the top of the pyramid. He dominates Chai. He can use animals for his own needs, which they in turn use Someach, the vegetation, which in turn lies on top of Domein. Now, the Shla quotes the Marshal and says, this is alluded to in Tehillim. In Perek Ches of Tehillim, the Pasuk says, Mo enosh kisiskerenu, what is man that you should remember him? Or ben Adam kisifkadenu, the son of man that you should be mindful of him. Vatchasrehu ma'at me'elukim, you have made him slightly less than angels. The covered v'hodot hatrei, you've crowned man with glory, with majesty. Timshaleu b'masi odecho, you've given him dominion over the work of your hands. Kol shato tachas raglo, you have placed everything beneath his feet. Tzoinev alofim kulam v'gam behem esodoi, flocks and cattle, all of them, and the beasts of the field. Tzipor shamayim with gehayom, birds of the sky, fish of the sea, etc., etc. When it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, kol shato tachas raglo, you have given man everything under his feet, it's referring to this, that we dafka wear shoes. In the days of old, shoes were made of leather. And therefore, when we wear leather shoes, it's an expression of us having dominion over the realm below us, namely that of Chai, the animal kingdom. So therefore, when a man puts his foot in a shoe and he treads on the leather, that demonstrates man's dominion over this world. And he's at the top of the pyramid. And that is the basis of the bracha of She'osa Li Kol Tzarki. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have given me everything because I'm on the top of the pyramid and I'm in top of Chai, which is on top of Tzemech, which is on top of Domein. It's all there to serve man. And that's what we're saying, She'osa Li Kol Tzarki. However, there are places and there are times where it's inappropriate to make this expression. For example, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, that is inappropriate to express your dominion over everything. There are places where you should show what actually I am submissive. I subjugate myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not appropriate for me to express my dominion over other things. And that's true for the Admas Kodesh that Moshe stood on, that Yeshua stood on. And there are times, for example, on Yom Kippur, or for example, in Avelus, where a person should not be expressing that sort of majesty and dominion that is on top of the pyramid. It's not appropriate. And that's why we take our shoes off on Yom Kippur and during our Avelus and during Tisha B'Av. And there are some times we take our shoes off when we go to certain places, Makom HaKadosh. And that's, to finish, this is an insight that I once heard from a Bixen's family, who quoted Dan Abramsky, that Dan Abramsky said, you know, in the good old days, a man would go on a cart which was being led by a horse, and that whole structure represented the four levels of creation. Why? Because the horse, so because the wheels of the carts were made out of metal, which is of course domain, and the cart itself was made out of wood, so the wood was on top of the wheels, which was pulled by a horse, which is a chai, and that was transporting a person who is the medaber, the odom, the medaber. And so you see that the man, by going in the horse and cart, was expressing his dominion. That was the natural order of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Dan Abramsky would then whimsically say, but nowadays we have cars, so what can we do? People have lost idea of this whole pyramid of the dominion of man over all these realms. But there you have it, a very interesting idea of why Shana Lecha Me'al Raglecha. So there we have four, I think, very interesting ideas in this week's parasha. Number one, what is the Shibud? Is Avodas Parech? What is Avodas Parech? So Avodas Parech, as we described, is the antithesis of Melacha. Avodas Parech is futile, meaningless work, in contrast to Melacha, which is meaningful, constructive, productive work. And amazingly, like Tosfos says over there, that the At Bash, which is the antithesis of something, of the words Parech, Pei Reish Chof, is 39, which is the 39 Melachas. Amazing. Then we have the idea of Robert Bernstein, that beautiful insight of the sort of the tension that Moshe Rabbeinu constantly felt, by Yarish Mitzri Maka Ish Ivri, is referring to himself. Look this way and that way. You can't live like that. Then we had the question of Rabbi Mervis, that if he took a look both ways, then how come two psukim later, Das Navirma talking about it? So one, his answer was that when it says Vayar ki einish, it was if there were plenty of people there. But what it meant was Vayar ki einish in the frame of the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, the Makom She'en Anoshim. There was no one standing up to fight this injustice. Alternatively, like we said, that the husband of Shlomis Bas Tivri was the man who was being persecuted by this mitzri, and he therefore was aware of the whole situation, and because of it, he may have told others, and eventually Dos Navirim got to hear about it. And lastly, we said, what does it mean, Shalma Lecho Me'al Raglecho? What is that referring to? So we said that that's a reference, says the Shlo, in the name of the Marshal, that shoes represent our dominion over all the realms below us. We are Medaber, we're Adam, we're at the top of the pyramids, and then you have Chai, which is on top of Tzomer, which is on top of Domein, and therefore by us putting our feet on leather shoes, it expresses that dominion. But there are certain times, certain situations where that expression is inappropriate, whether it's a Machon Kodesh or whether it's a time which is inappropriate to make that expression. So four very beautiful ideas. It's good to be back. And I wish you a very good evening and a very good Shabbos. Thank you very much for joining.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.